Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, Jill from Indiana thought she'd seen it all until her latest ghost hunt turned into a showdown in a creepy attic with an energy-sucking hitchhiker.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, it is. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you are downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of the many episodes that we give out to you every single day. If you are so inclined and would like to listen without the commercials, you can check out our premium channel on Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. Or the old school way is still there, ghostpodcast.com. Lots of ways to consume the material. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What is going on?
Been a few weeks since you and I chatted.
It has been. It's like, yeah, like through two, three, something like that, right around there.
Yeah. Oh. We always come back to the same thing, talking about dreams. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about having that radio dream.
I have it all the time. Yep.
And I never can figure out exactly why your radio dream takes you to one location in your career. Mine takes me to another. It's not the same place.
Where does yours take you?
It's always WIXX.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Always. Yep. Always WIXX. And yours is like the first station that you and I work together at.
Yeah, it is. It's and the funny part, because if I have any unresolved issues, it's over there with one person in that company. Other than that, like, I'm good with everybody. And my the hometown station, good with everybody. Like, I still do stuff for them. You do stuff. It's like nothing. There's no weird thing. I don't know why it is, but I'm always back there. You're usually there too. And we're trying to make the station or fix the station or do something. And then it's just weird. It's not like scary or bad. It's just weird to me because we're both like, we've come from everything we've done. And like, oh, we're back here again. Like, what? How did this happen? But it's just like, it's what's happening. It's in common sense land in your mind. It all makes sense. And you wake up and you go, what the hell's that all about?
I was telling you that I enjoy some gummies before bedtime. And so it all depends on the kind of gummies I take.
Yeah.
Either I don't dream because it's so deep, or I have the wackiest dreams ever.
I wonder if that influences mine, because I take melatonin gummies every night, but I do take the weed ones sometimes. It's just like, I really want to be out, then I'll take the weed ones. But
yeah,
I don't know. But because it happens either way, it feels like. I didn't take anything last night, but
nothing. I was maybe back that's there. Why you were having dreams of it. You got to totally knock yourself out so you don't dream about that place.
I got to do that. Then I can have nightmares again and things like that. Because I don't have nightmares. I don't know the last time I had a nightmare. It's been years. And it'd be kind of fun. I got to say, I kind of miss him a little bit.
Okay. Be careful what you open the door to.
I know. There's still a good spoon. The thing is, I'm usually aware when I'm dreaming. So although sometimes I'm not, but if it's a nightmare, I usually am aware. It's usually not this is realistic, but so I don't get really that freaked out. I kind of just start like messing with the dream and like trying to manipulate it and like, ooh, come get me, ghosts or whatever.
Right. But yeah, I'm kind of the same way. Yeah. Exactly.
But it's the ones that are just true to life and like could theoretically like we could walk into and do that. Those are the ones I don't necessarily realize I'm dreaming in because they just seem so normal. So I don't know. My mind works strange. It's all.
Well, no doubt about that.
Yeah, no shit. Let's go to our first ghost story at 855-853-4802. The phone number you too can call if you would like to share yours with us. Let's hear it. Hi.
This is Jill from Indiana. I was just calling to let you know about a paranormal hunt that we went on last weekend and some unusual stuff that happened. We are investigating a location that I've been to several times. So we had some new people in our groups that were trying it out to see if this is something they wanted to do. I had a group But I ended up passing off my group to another investigator so that I could go up to the attic. And there was a group up there of about four or five people. I went up and said, hey, I'm here. I'm just going to sit myself over in the corner and not bother you. And they were like, okay, no problem. I noticed this group, and I didn't know several of the people in the group. They must have been the new ones. And they were using K2 meters, which are supposed to pick up electromagnetic sensitivity, and they had some other things like REM pods and different types of meters. And there was a boy, and I say boy, he was probably about 25, sitting in a chair. And when I first came up, he had been sitting in the chair, and they were all circled up like they were doing an EVP session, trying to talk to whatever's there. But I noticed the boy because they were all kind of pointing their equipment at him, and it was lighting up. And now I notice that the equipment is, they've set pieces on his lap, and the pieces, let's say there are six lights on it to indicate how strong the electromagnetic is. Now it's going flickering from just a little bit and then all the way up to burying the needle, basically. At that point, I thought I better intervene because something that strong is probably electronic. So I walk over there and I was like, hey, I'm Jill. Where's your leader? And they're like, she's over there sitting in a chair. And I said, okay. So I'm asking him, like, why are you putting all this stuff on this guy? And I'll just call him John. And they said, well, it only lights up on him. And we think it's a girl spirit because we heard a voice earlier that sounded like a little girl giggling. And then our equipment started lighting up. And I said, okay, yes, I've met a little girl up in this attic, which is a different story. And I said, but why is it on him and only him? And at that point, I noticed that his body language had changed from when I first saw him maybe 10 minutes ago. He seemed more slumped over and tired and not really participating, and they were asking it to blink once for yes and twice for no, and it was doing it, and, you know, this is exciting, so they were all very excited, except for John. He wasn't saying a word. So I said to John, I said, do you feel sick? And he said, what do you mean? I said, do you feel off or odd, sick, tired, drained, cold, anything out of the ordinary that you didn't feel before you came to the attic? And he said, yeah, I'm just getting really run down. I think I'm just getting tired. I said, okay. So are you tired because it's late at night? Or do you feel like you're exhausted and all the energy's been sucked out of you? And he said, why do you ask? And then he started sounding kind of nervous. I said, well, there's a difference between the two. And if you're going to do this sort of thing, you have to self-monitor. And you monitor each other. And when one of you looks unusually exhausted or tired or in pain, then these are things that need to be noted. Maybe it's normal, maybe it's not. And I kept scaring them, so I walked away. And I walked to the other side of the room and kind of stood in the shadows watching them. And that's when I noticed that the one sitting down, John, for just a second, it looked like he had a backpack on. And I noticed that if I look directly at him, I don't see anything out of the ordinary. But if I turn my head and use my peripheral, it looked like, and at first I kind of almost laughed, it looked like a baby chimpanzee was clinging to his back. And it was just sitting there. It wasn't like chewing on him or anything. But it was creepy. So I walked back over and intervened again. And when it came down to it, I said, would it be okay if I touch you and I put my hand on your back? And the boy, John, said, yeah. And I said, okay, I'm going to try an experiment. He said, you guys keep watching your equipment. I'm going to shut my eyes for a second, and please say out loud if anything changes. So I laid my hand between his shoulder blades and tried to extend my personal shield to encase him. and say a prayer in my head. And when I started saying the prayer in my head and I'm focusing on shielding and protecting, three of the people that were watching all said, wait, my stuff stopped. All the lights stopped. Everything turned off. I said, okay, good. And I kept the prayer up. And then I finished and I said, is everything still off? And they said, yes. So I opened my eyes. I said, how are you feeling? And he said, I'm not as cold, but you know, who knows? Maybe it's just because I have my hands on him. So I backed away from him about 2-3 steps and all the equipment lighted up again. So I said, do me a favor, take that meter that's it's lighting up to 3 out of 5. I said, slide it up his front, check him all over, and they did, and it didn't go past 3. I said, put it over his shoulder on his back where I was touching him. And when they did that, it buried the needle to red. Now they were getting worried because I was obviously knowing something they weren't knowing, and they were getting upset and worried, saying, what's going on? What is this? And I said, I don't know. So then I started trying to, we don't antagonize, but I backed away from them and I did start antagonizing. I started saying things that I thought would be upsetting to any entity that was a non-human. And usually these things work. It'll draw the attention to me very quickly. I will take a hit from that. I will be sick and tired and have a headache and all of the above. But I figured if I could draw it to me, at least this new kid would be able to go home alone. But it wasn't falling for it. It would not leave him. So I went back to praying, untouching him. I tried to explain to him how to do the same thing. And I told him to imagine a force field around him like from the movie Star Wars, only make it an egg that totally encompasses your whole body, even your feet and your head. And he said, okay. I said, just picture it in your mind and hold on to that picture. And he did, and he shut his eyes, and I backed away from him, and all the meters and all the lights stayed off. And I said, excellent. Now, I'm going to stay behind. You all go downstairs while he holds this. And I told John, don't let go of the egg. And they left, and they were... I went down maybe a minute after them, just trying to make sure whatever it was, if it was angry, it would lash out at me and not them. So anyway, I got a call 2 days later from our director saying, hey, what happened? This group called and they said that you were really scary and you freaked them out and they were not happy about it. Boy, was I mad. Okay, hold on a second. You thought you wanted to see what boxing was like, and you put on the boxing gloves, and you climbed into the ring, and when somebody hit you in the face, I pulled you out of that ring, and I took those hits for you, and you're mad at me. Hey, if you don't want to get boxed in the face, don't climb in the ring.
Interesting story. Thank you for sharing that. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think it really it brings to light the fact that, you know, a lot of people go and they investigate, and it's fun, right? There's a lot of fun that goes along with it. But if you're not careful, you can really fall into some bad situations. I've seen people, I don't want to say get possessed, but I've seen energy take them over, and I've seen them get sick from the situation. And like she says, you know, you want to try boxing, but you don't want to get hit. Mm-hmm. And you got to be careful of that. I appreciate also the fact that she was paying close enough attention to the people around her, mm-hmm, that she noticed somebody seemed to be struggling a little bit. Sometimes you're in the moment, you're so excited about what's going on, you're really not paying attention. And that's when bad things can happen. So hats off to her for keeping her eyes open on that.
Interesting. I don't investigate like ever, but I mean, I've gone out on like some ghost hunts here and there, but I've never witnessed where that is. And I've seen it like from other people, or like from, you know, YouTube or watching something, where people are very much affected by some of those things. Have you ever had anything where you walked away from a location and went, I feel like there's something here that has affected me or is attached to something?
I mean, I think I've shared it on this show before where I did an investigation and something actually seemed to follow me home. I don't know if it was an energy or if it was just some sort of bad juju or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I've had that happen and it is actually very frightening and totally changed my mindset on how I investigate, why I investigate, if I investigate.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of it is too, like, you realize that sometimes the humans are the thing you have to watch out for the most. So if you're out investigating, you as a group, you have to say to yourselves, okay, if we encounter certain things, there's a safe word. And once we say it, we're packing up and walking out and have a backup plan to get the hell out of places when things go bad.
Interesting. Yeah. There's, the guy from Ghost Adventures, I forget.
Zach?
No, the one where his wife tried to put a hit out on him.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of his name. Yeah.
That, when I saw that, I'm like, holy shit, because I'm over in the true crime world all day half the time. And all of a sudden I see that, I'm like, what the fuck? And it made me wonder a little, because that's such a, it's not common that somebody's putting a hit out on you. I mean, there people do all sorts of shit, but like that's quite a leap to make. The odds are not great that someone's going to try and do that to you. But, you know, with all the stuff that they get around and all the dark things, I mean, it made me wonder, if is there something connected here where it's just like, you know, such bad energy that this is what your wife thought was a good idea? That I don't know. Maybe that's a bridge too far of thinking, but it did make me wonder because it's such a rare thing to occur.
Dude, you and I thought the same thing. Like, you know, he's been with her for a while and she never showed any signs of doing weird stuff like this. It's kind of strange. It made me think, you know, did he bring something back or was she along on an investigation in somewhere, you know, and it follow her back? It did cross my mind.
It's just like, it's such a weird thought to have about someone that like, let's go get them killed. Let's hire someone to do that. And it's like, and your odds are great that you're going to get caught. They're huge. You're very likely going to get caught if you do something like that. It's just such a stupid, crazy move. Although I don't know. I didn't know all the details of it. I don't know if there are, you know, drugs involved or something with her. I don't know, to influence that type of thinking. But yeah, I did start to wonder, like, that's really dark in a real world sort of way.
Yep.
855-853-4802, our phone number. If you want to share your ghost stories with us, you can write it at realghoststoriesonline.com. We would love to hear it. You want access to the bonus episodes, all that, we got the premium channel on Apple Podcasts. Check that out there. You can try it for 3 days free or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.